Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how are dressage horses trained. Now, one question that many people would love to know the answer to is how are dressage horses trained? Now, that's a big question that doesn't have a simple answer, because there are many facets that make a successful dressage horse, and it takes many years to train one through from novice to the very highest levels. So in this podcast episode, we're going to take a closer look at how dressage horses are trained. So firstly, let's just discuss the dressage horse's paces. Because although any correctly and diligently trained horse can perform all the movements up to an advanced level, only those animals that possess naturally expressive paces usually make it through to Grand Prix level. However, that doesn't mean to say that every successful dressage horse has a big floating trot and a huge off-the-ground canter. Big movers often fly through the early levels. However, progress in their training will grind to a frustrating halt when these horses are asked to compress their bodies and develop collection. So the ideal dressage horse will have a natural athleticism and ability to use his hind legs to balance himself. Also, the perfect dressage horse should have a naturally balanced canter. Now, all the paces must be correct, and that is to say that each gait must have a pure and uncorrupted rhythm, because flaws in the walk and canter are severely penalised by dressage judges and they cannot easily be improved. Now, the horse's natural trot can be quite ordinary, but through correct schooling to make the horse fitter and stronger, the trot can be made bigger and more expressive, which will compensate for any limitations. Also, if the horse's trot is not huge, it's easier for him to learn and understand piaff and passage and master the transitions between the two. So now let's quickly discuss trainability. Because a dressage horse must have a trainable attitude. If the horse tends to be resentful, stubborn, or excessively hot, then training him to work in harmony with his rider will be challenging. So ideally, the horse will enjoy his work and have a relaxed, willing, but forward-going demeanour. So the next question we're going to answer is, what is the correct age to begin training a dressage horse? So the age in which to start training a dressage horse will depend on several factors, including his build and his temperament. Now, generally, heavily built horses should be started later than lighter boned individuals. But the usual age to start work under saddle is 3 or 4 years old, when the horse is mentally and physically able to handle the work. Now, at that age, the horse is not strong enough to offer resistance and is also not set in his ways so that he can't learn. But whatever age you begin training your dressage horse, you should be patient and encourage respect rather than fear. So another common question that is asked is, how long does it take to train a dressage horse? Now, when training a dressage horse, it's vital that you don't rush things and make the mistake of asking the horse for too much too soon. So you must ensure that the horse is physically strong enough to do what it is that you are asking him to do. Now, some people make the mistake of trying to forge ahead with their horse's training and force him to perform movements that he finds physically difficult. Now, that often results in the horse picking up an injury that can sometimes end a promising dressage career. Now, it usually takes around 5 years to train a horse to Grand Prix level, assuming that you don't suffer any setbacks along the way. Now, that's how long it takes for the horse to develop the physical and mental strength that is needed to be able to perform the movements required at that level. Now, if you experience any problems, then progressing up the levels can take longer than this. Now, dressage horses are trained in accordance with the scales of training. So that is number 1, rhythm, number 2, suppleness, number 3, contact, number 4, impulsion, number 5, straightness, and number 6, collection. Now, if you want to know more about each of these points in depth, then please search our podcast archives for the Scale of Training episodes, where we dedicate an individual episode for each one of the scales. Now, each of these scales has a direct correlation to the other, so you can't skip over one or two of the scales and make progress in the horse's training. Now, training a dressage horse takes time, hard work, and dedication, and there are no shortcuts. Now, even the most experienced and successful dressage riders will still have regular lessons and training to increase their knowledge and improve their riding ability. So now let's move on to discuss, how much does a dressage horse cost? Now, the cost of buying a dressage horse will depend on many factors. Now, if the horse is a young, unbroken animal, then his breeding will, to a large extent, dictate the price. Now, in essence, you're paying for the potential based on the competitive record of one or both of the horse's parents. Now, horses that already have a competition record will often be more expensive than those who don't. Basically, you're paying for an animal that's ready-made rather than buying a blank canvas. Now, in theory, you should be able to pick up the reins and continue the horse's training and begin competing him right away. However, horses that have already started competing can often come with problems and flaws in their way of going that you may have to correct before much progress can be made. Now, a horse that is working at Grand Prix level and has a good competition record will command a very high price. But before parting with your cash, make sure that you are experienced and competent enough to be able to ride a horse that's working at that level. Because contrary to popular belief, a Grand Prix horse doesn't just do the movements on its own. So the last question that we want to answer is a question that is asked by a lot of people who don't fully understand the dressage sport. And that is dressage training cruel to horses? Now, if the horse is trained sympathetically, systematically, and correctly, then dressage training is not cruel. A schooling whip and spurs are not there to punish the horse, but to back up the rider's leg aids and give the horse a clearer direction. And a correctly fitted double bridle is not used to fix the horse's head and neck into an outline, but rather to encourage and enhance self-carriage. However, there is one controversial training technique that has reared its ugly head recently, and that is Rolker. And this method involves an aggressive hyperflexion of the horse's neck, manufacturing a deep, low outline and forcing the horse to maintain it for long periods. Now, Rolker has been banned by the FEI, and its use has also led to one international dressage rider receiving a ban from competition. Now, Rolker flies in the face of the principles of classical dressage and correct schooling of the horse. The reluctant, false outline and way of going is incorrect, and it has no place in the dressage arena. Now, due to the compression of the vertebrae during Rolker, all throughness and impulsion are lost, as the horse's top line is stiff and lacking suppleness and elasticity. Now, the contact is seriously flawed, as the horse evades taking the bit by coming behind it, rather than offering the rider an elastic contact and taking the bit forward. Now, a horse that is worked in Rolker has a tight, hollow back, trails his hocks, and will probably carry most of the weight on his shoulders, all of which are incorrect in dressage. Now, if you want to know more about Rolker, then we do have a podcast episode specifically on that topic. So please search our archives for the title Rolker Explained. So to wrap this episode up, training the dressage horse is an ongoing and challenging process, and it can take many years to take a horse from novice to advanced levels. But the horse should be trained in accordance with the scales of training, which applies to all levels. Now, if you have any other questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips and things that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. Alternatively, you can join our training forum, which you can find at howtodressage.com/community. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other books, training diaries, free stuff and competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our podcast and hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of equestrian books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.